Greetings in the name of the Lord. Over a long period of time, we are studying together and thinking together from a very important book in the New Testament called Galatians. Galatians is one of the doctrinal books, and it's actually the first book that God gave by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul. It is all God's Word, of course, but different writers wrote these books of the Old and the New Testament. Moses wrote the first five books, and then other people wrote other books. But all of it is the Word of God. All of it was given by God, by inspiration. They were writing about things they didn't know anything about, but God perfectly brought to their hearts and brought to their minds the truth of history, of prophecy, of poetry, everything you can imagine in the Old Testament. And then, of course, in the New Testament, he brought to their hearts perfectly the truth of the Gospels, the book of Acts, and then all of the epistles, and, of course, Revelation concerning the future. So all of it is the Word of God. And I want to urge you, most of you have Bibles. Most of you who are very religious have Bibles. But I'm sorry to say that many of you have never even opened your Bibles. Or if you have, you merely leaf through the Bible a little bit, gone from section to section, reading this little thing and that little thing, and you've never really studied the Word of God. And the deeper thing I'm concerned about is this. And that is that many of you have listened to false teachers who have taught you from their own books, claiming that they believe the Bible, but not really teaching the truth of the Word of God. People who knock on your doors, people you hear on the radio, or so forth, and these people are teaching various things, and so you have followed their teachings without ever really studying the Bible yourselves. How wonderful it is that any Christian and every Christian can open to the Word of God. You start with simple books. As new Christians, you might easily understand, such as the Gospel of John and other books like that. You can study the book of Romans and other books. And these are fairly simple books to understand if you follow them in a very simple way. But you don't necessarily read some of the most difficult books in the beginning, but you can read the Word of God. So if you've never read the Word of God, I would suggest begin with the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John perfectly defines who is Jesus, what is his person and work, in other words, why did he come, how did he come, what was he before he came down. The fact in John 1:1-14, he's the divine Son of God who created the worlds and so forth. And so when you read the Word of God, the Gospel of John in this case, it's going to explain to you who and what is Jesus, what did he do, what do I have to do concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, and then how can I live in him? After I've trusted him as my Savior, how can I live in him? In other words, you wouldn't get into the false teaching if you'd simply go to God's Word. And so in these series of studies, I've done many, many studies here on Harvest Radio. And in these series of studies, I'm simply teaching from the Word of God. I'm not taking the book of any man or the ideas of men, but I'm simply taking the Word of God with you. So in this study, and I've taken a long introduction to this particular lesson, but in this study, we're going through the book of Galatians, and we're taking it very, very slowly. I've already taken perhaps as many as 30 or 31 different lessons just to get up to chapter 5. And we still have many lessons to go before we finish the book. And why have I gone through it so slowly? Because it's very important, step by step by step, that you understand this teaching that we are not under the Old Testament law at all. Many people have misunderstood this. They've completely misunderstood this. In fact, one sect is built upon this idea that we're under the law of Moses still. We come to Christ by faith, but if we don't follow the law of Moses, we can either lose our salvation or we will not know how to live the Christian life if we don't follow the law of Moses. And this, of course, is a false teaching. It's completely false. And books like Romans chapter 3, verse 19, down to the end of chapter 7, and books like Galatians and the books like Ephesians and other books are going to clearly point this out, that we're not under the law of Moses anymore. Now we have the indwelling Holy Spirit. Now, one other thing I want to say, and I've tried to say this in almost every lesson, it is very important that you understand. You may be very religious. You may be very faithful in your church. You may be doing everything your church tells you to do. But if you are coming to anyone else or anything else other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself, you're not going to go to heaven. No matter what you do, no matter how religious you are, if you're depending upon another person to whom you might pray, you're depending upon your church, you're depending upon baptism in our church or sacraments in your church, whatever you might call them, if you're depending upon anything else or anyone else besides Jesus to take you to heaven, even if you say, I believe in Jesus, but besides this, that word besides this is the error you're into, because there's nothing besides Jesus that will take you to heaven. The Lord Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So if you're dependent on anyone else or anything else, that is not God's salvation. Now that's what the book of Galatians is teaching us. If you're dependent on Jesus plus the law or Jesus plus anything else, you're not going to go to heaven because you've departed from grace. The grace of God is this, that we are unworthy, hopelessly lost sinners with no worthiness, no merit in ourselves. And the Lord Jesus came into the world to save such people as this, a world of people of all ages who are hopeless lost sinners, but who will come to him by faith and trust him as their Savior from sin. And so you need to do this if you've never done it in your heart. If you're simply religious, believing in Jesus, but believing in everything else too, put these things aside and come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me come into this, the very last few conclusions I want to draw concerning the first four doctrinal sections of this book. I pointed out the book divides. Chapters 1 to 4 would be the doctrinal section of Galatians, explaining the doctrine of salvation and why we're not under the law. And then chapters 5 and 6 are going to talk about how we live the Christian life, even though we're not under the hundreds of regulations of the law. How do we live the Christian life? And what is the Christian life that we're to live? Now, the last section that we considered, and this is what I just want to finish up with a few conclusions, was this section of chapter 4 of Galatians, verses 21 to 31. And it talks about Sarah and Hagar. I won't read the passage. We're going to read a passage in just a few moments from chapter 5. But you can study this yourselves. There were two people that he uses for illustration. One was Hagar, who represents the Old Testament law. Now, Hagar was the concubine. She was a servant of Abraham and Sarah. And Abraham and Sarah did not really believe that God would give them a son. They'd already waited many years. In fact, it would be 25 years after the promise was first given in Genesis chapter 12 to Abraham, before Isaac would finally be born. Imagine that. 25 years they had to wait. But they were to wait on God, and they didn't believe him. And so Hagar became like a wife to Abraham, and he had a son by her, and the son's name was Ishmael. But this was not God's plan. God had to rebuke them very sharply, and eventually Ishmael and Hagar were driven out because they were not God's plan. Isaac was God's plan, and later he gave Isaac. Now Sarah represents the new covenant, in other words, this covenant of faith. In other words, the covenant that we're under today. So Hagar represents the Old Testament law, and we're not under that law. Today, the Old Testament Jewish people were under the law. It was holy from God, but it's not a means of salvation. It merely showed them their sinful condition before God. And so Sarah and the son born to her represent the covenant of promise given to Abraham. And this is very important for us to understand. He draws a clear distinction between these two covenants. And there's no relationship between them. Either you're depending upon the law of Moses in the Old Testament, which was only intended to point them to their sinful condition, and then through the sacrificial system to point them to the coming sacrifice of Christ. It had no other purpose as far as righteousness was concerned. Even Paul, who in Philippians 3, verse 6, could say that he was blameless under the law, even he had to put it aside, all of his blamelessness under the law, and come by faith as a lost sinner to the Lord Jesus and trust him as a Savior from sin. This is going to be verses 7 to 9 of chapter 3 of the book of Philippians. Now, I want to say again, I want to emphasize this in the last few minutes. This New Covenant does not take away from the original purpose and function of the law of the Old Testament for the Old Testament Jewish people. In other words, the Old Testament law never did apply to the Gentiles. I'll explain this in just a moment. It never did apply to the Gentiles, but it did apply to the Jewish people, this chosen nation of God. And I want to emphasize that the Jewish people are still God's chosen people. God has a wonderful plan for them in the future. This is why we love Israel and we love the Jewish people. God has a wonderful plan for them, those who will come to their Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, as their Savior. He has a wonderful plan for them in the future. So in the Old Testament, God chose this nation, and through this nation, He was going to give all of the predictions, all of the preparations for the coming of the Savior Himself. Throughout the Old Testament, there are going to be prophecies concerning Him. The law itself would be a picture. The sacrificial system under the law would be a picture of His coming sacrifice. God was preparing the world for the time when the Messiah would come through the Jewish people. And so, even when the Lord Jesus was there, the Lord Jesus still honored the law. In other words, He did not put it aside. He did teach, however, that the Jewish people were following the precepts of the law in their actions, but not their motivations, not in their thought lives, not in the intents and purposes of their hearts, not in their feelings, their attitudes, nothing else, just their actions only. And Jesus was saying, no, God is judging you for everything you are, your feelings, your attitudes, your motivations, everything. God is judging you, your words and everything. God is judging you. So let me get back to this again. The law did prepare the Jewish nation for the coming of their Messiah, and it was very important. And the sacrificial system was a picture. So rather than seeking to compromise with the law today, are making it a part of our approach to God in salvation of the Christian life, we are making a clear choice between the two. Either I can be saved by Jesus plus the law, or I can be saved by grace alone, by grace through faith, in other words. I can be saved one way or the other, according to the way I approach it. Now, let me put this again. You're not really saved at all through the law, but this is the approach many people are taking. Whereas this is the way I'm going to follow. I'm going to follow Jesus, but with Jesus, I'll add something, and that something will be the law. And this is their way of salvation. And unfortunately, it's not God's way. God's way of salvation is through Jesus alone, because there's no good work I have ever done, am now doing, or will ever do that will save me from my sins or will help me be saved. My good works have nothing to do with my salvation. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 9, for by grace are you saved. Grace, the unmerited favor of God. For another unworthy sinner, in other words, it's an unmerited, unearned favor of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And many, many other verses besides. So, rather than seeking to compromise with the law and somehow making the law part of our lives or making it a part of our approach to God in salvation and the Christian life, we, as well as those Galatians Christians, are to make a clear choice between the two. In other words, we're going to have to reject man's way of saving himself. I can save myself for my good works through my church and through other things. But God's way is you are saved only through the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're not saved only through Him, you're not saved. So again, it's not Jesus plus anything else. It's Jesus alone. So now they would live in the freedom from the law that they have. They're freed from the law, free from the Old Testament way of doing things, and now they stand in the Lord Jesus Christ by the indwelling Holy Spirit. Now we'll be talking about this as we get into chapter 5. But my prayer is this, as we study together, and I hope you will continue your studies with me and not be offended by some of the things I've had to point out, because I'm pointing out the truth to you. But it's my prayer that you will come to the Lord Jesus realizing He is the only means of salvation. Don't pray to anybody else. Don't depend upon anything else, but come to Jesus alone. where Jesus again said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me." And then, by the Holy Spirit living in your life, you can live also the Christian life. The Holy Spirit will teach you and lead you and show you God's way of living the Christian life. And this is my prayer for you, that you might believe this truth and follow it with all your heart. So open your Bibles and begin to read and learn God's truth, just as I'm presenting it on these studies. May the Lord help you, each one.